Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
I know many of you will have stayed up late to watch all the action at Augusta. Scottie Scheffler claimed victory in the Masters last night. Rory McIlroy clocked in an impressive performance. It wasn't enough to catch up though. And after his own heroic comeback, Tiger Woods finished 47th as he confirmed plans to play at the Open at St Andrews. Well, we're joined on the line by Irish independent sports writer Vincent Hogan in Augusta and also sports writer and podcast host with The 42, Gavin Cooney. Vincent, I want to come to you first. You were there, you saw it all with your own eyes. Scottie said he was in bits over the weekend before he came to the final day. What was it like to see it in the flesh?
It's an extraordinary place, Claire. Never gets old. It's one of the most beautiful golf courses it's possible to stand on. But the atmosphere around Augusta yesterday was really pretty special. And I think you have to put in context, you know, Ireland having two golfers finishing in the top three. When you think of the caliber of players that didn't make the cut, you know, major winners like Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose didn't make the cut. So just getting into the weekend is a huge achievement in this place. A really treacherous golf course and conditions early in the week. I've never known it as cold as it was over here on Saturday. It was absolutely bitter with strong, you know, 40 mile per hour gusts of wind. So it made it a really treacherous challenge. But Scheffler, you know, he's in 57 days, Claire. He's won four of his last six events. He's the hottest golfer in the world by a distance.
Absolutely. But as you say, for our two there to be in second and third, Rory McIlroy, he seemed very pleased with his performance. He said he gave it a great go. Shane Lowry, though, I just see a quote from him this morning saying he can take little comfort from his third place finish. But I mean, as you say there, for him to end up in third place is extraordinary. It's an extraordinary achievement.
I think it was heroic what he did, Claire. You know, that triple bogey on four where he said he just tried to be a bit too clever with the three iron, it actually just pulled the rug from under him. He was playing beautifully all week, really. And to go for the remaining, 14 holes in five under par, that was an extraordinary achievement, birdieing the last as well. Look, he's in the hottest form of his life and he's very impatient with himself. He's only won four tournaments as a professional in 12 years. That's not good enough in his eyes. He is a major winner. He's been a top 10 finisher six times in majors, but he wants to win more, Claire. And that's where he was coming from. He was really frustrated that he wasn't right in the mix coming up, you know, the back nine yesterday.
Now, Tiger Woods didn't feature, as I said at the beginning, 47th. He looked to be in pain towards the end. But I was really intrigued by a piece that you wrote at the end of last week saying nobody asks him what happened in the accident. And you've got a theory as to why he's not asked about that.
Well, there's such a reverence around Tiger, and it was an extraordinary story. I mean, this guy who hadn't played a competitive round of golf in over 500 days, making the cut alone, you know, given he was 3 months in a hospital bed after that accident. But yeah, people just bow and defer to Tiger. And, you know, I thought personally he didn't look particularly well. He's moving like an old man, which is probably not that surprising given the damage done to his right leg. But yeah, nobody even comes close to questioning him about the circumstances of a crash where, you know, the 4x4 he was driving was doing twice the speed limit at the time. The only explanation for him having the accident, veering across two lanes of a highway, are that perhaps he had a blackout. If so, why did he have a blackout? But those questions don't get asked. You know, he's had a pretty checkered career off the course in terms of his driving, as we all know. So it's a strange one, but it was the Tiger show for the opening two days of this tournament.
It was, and the reason, as you say, is because he's the Muhammad Ali of the sport. And if you're one of those players, and if you're running if you're in the golf world and you're making money off the back of it from whatever source, he's the guy who has increased your earnings exponentially over the last 20 years.
That's for sure. I mean, everybody in this game, journalists included, you know, they have profited from Tiger Woods. You know, I think in 97, when he just ran away with this tournament, and that was when he made hit the biggest impact as a young 21-year-old, you know, the total PGA prize money at the time was about $70 or $80 million. It's now are in around $300 million. And everybody accepts that Tiger Woods has been central to that. So in many ways, there's an awful lot of people beholden to Tiger Woods. And you can see the figures, you know, they shoot up every time he gets involved in anything.
Vincent, a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us from Augusta, the morning after the night before. Vincent Hogan, sports writer with the Irish Independent. And Gavin Cooney, as I said, is with us. And we want to touch on some of the other events in sport, including that Premier League match, the big one, Gavin, between Liverpool and Man City. That was a thrilling draw.
Jurgen Klopp likened it to two heavyweights slugging it out in the ring. And if you drop your guard for a moment, then crash, you'll get a pretty hefty wallop on the nose. And a 2-2 draw, and you know, a lot of people have said it ended as we started. Man City, okay, still have a point lead at the top of the table, but it's a much better result for Man City than Liverpool because things have changed now in a significant way. With 7 games to go in the Premier League, it's no longer in Liverpool's hands. They now need Manchester City to drop points at least once in the run-in, and given City's more favourable fixture list and their kind of awesome air that they gave off of this kind of air of invincibility, it's hard to see them dropping points anywhere. So Jurgen Klopp said afterwards that we have to be perfect to beat these, and even sometimes when we are perfect, it may not be enough.
So the pressure is all on Liverpool.
Pressure. Well, look, I mean, the pressure's on both. I mean, you could argue that the team with the lead might be under more pressure not to relinquish it, but it's going to look slightly harder in the run-in there for Liverpool just because they play better teams. You know, Manchester United and Everton are difficult fixtures for Liverpool that City don't have, and then Tottenham have to come to Anfield in what is probably the trickier game. So, look, there could be twists and turns yet. We'll have to convince ourselves that there will be to keep this interesting for the next 7 games or so, but yeah. Advantage City.
Yeah, it's a bit like the golf last night. You have to convince yourself that Scotty isn't going to win, you know. But they're going to meet again, aren't they, in the FA Cup pretty soon?
They're going to meet in the FA Cup next Saturday, Wembley, in the semi-final. I think both teams might rest. We might see their second-string teams, but I'd say their second-string teams would beat most other teams on the planet. At the moment, Liverpool and City are well out in front, and they're also on a collision course in the Champions League final. Okay. They're on opposite sides of the draw, so they both have work to do to get through the semi-final stage. That's a little bit off yet, but they are by a distance the two best teams in not just in England, but in Europe. You could see that by the level of technical excellence in the game yesterday. So they're on a collision course. They're down to play next weekend, and they are like the era's defining rivals, so they might yet meet in the biggest game of all.
That's another big game. Great day as well for the Meath women's football team. Made history with their win over Donegal.
Yeah, Eamon Murray, the coach, was funny afterwards. He was asked, have you got much left to win, Eamon? And he said, oh, maybe husband of the year. I definitely haven't won that yet. But that's about it. I mean, they've now added, they've won Division 3, then they won Division 2, then and now they've won Division 1, having also won an All-Ireland Intermediate title, and then most and probably of all, the All-Ireland final last autumn against Dublin. So this is their top-tier success. That's they've topped it all off in the space of about 16 months. This is a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde performance. Like, they led with 7 points with 4 minutes left in the first half, and then all of a sudden found themselves behind 5 minutes into the second half. But Niamh Sullivan stood up, got a 40th-minute goal, and Vicky Wall's 54th-minute point is crucial. And he's not at their best, but a 2-point win and yet another piece of silverware.
Well, congratulations to them. And then the Australian Grand Prix in Melbourne, Charles Leclerc took first place. But I want to ask you about Max Verstappen, forced to retire for the second time in 3 races. What's going on?
Yeah, there's some reliability issues with his Red Bull car. They're still trying to figure it out, but the car keeps letting him down. Max Verstappen is certainly not happy about it, and he's a long way off Charles Leclerc at the top of the standings. Like, he's now, 46 points back. That's a bigger gap than existed at any point between him and Hamilton last year, in which he fended off Hamilton's comeback. So we're only 3 races in into a 20-odd race calendar, but it's certainly advantaged Leclerc. Pressure's on Verstappen now.
Gavin, thank you very much. Gavin Cooney there from the 42.ie. In the headlines, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has said the European Union is drafting proposals for a possible oil embargo on Russia because of its invasion of Ukraine. The Dublin Airport Authority is again advising passengers not to arrive more than 3.5 hours before an early morning flight, and around 500 jobs are to be provided across the island of Ireland by the coffee and sandwich chain Pret-a-Manger over the next 10 years. And that's it for today. Thank you you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney. Research by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr-Ross, and Harry Buckless was on sound. I'm back on the TV tonight for Clare Byrne Live. I'll be joined by newly arrived Ukrainian refugees and the volunteers doing their best to provide a welcome for them. Comedian Jason Byrne will also be in to tell me how the war in Ukraine has moved him and what he's doing about it. That's RT1 10:35 tonight. Now, though, it's over to Ronan Collins.